Good morning, church family. We're excited to be together once again today. Whether you're in-house or online, we welcome you. And so glad that you're here today. This is Pentecost Sunday. And I believe that Pentecost Sunday ought to have some special fire behind it. Amen? And so we're excited to be together today. Let's be praying for our nation. There's probably never been a time where there's been as much chaos. If you look at a map, you'll just see from New York to Washington, D.C., going all the way down to Miami, Nashville, Louisville, St. Louis, Chicago, Kansas City, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, Phoenix, Los Angeles, Seattle, our nation needs God. And we need to be praying for our nation at this time that God will bring the healing that only He can bring to a nation. And it all starts here with us, amen? The Bible says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then He'll hear from heaven and heal our land. So it starts with us, and that's good news because we know how to pray, don't we? And we can pray, and we can make a difference. And so let me encourage you, let's really be covering our nation in prayer. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the Old Testament, the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 10, and we're going to weave our way through much of the early part of that chapter as we talk about changed today. Changed. Listen to what it says in verse 6 of 1 Samuel 10. This is Samuel speaking to Saul. Saul is about to become king of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. And you will be changed. The Spirit of God will come powerfully upon you. You will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. Friends, I don't know about you, but I love the potential that is found in that phrase, and you'll be changed into a different person. You see, in a nutshell, that is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit changes lives. Matter of fact, I've come to see and come to believe that it is only through the indwelling and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that we can reach our highest potential in life. When you look at the life of a man by the name of Saul, Saul becomes king of Israel at the age of 30. Saul was, in all the natural ways, he had it all together in so many ways. He was tall. Matter of fact, the Bible says he stood above the crowd by a head over all of Israel. So he's tall. He's dark. He's got wonderful olive skin. He is handsome, according to Scripture. He is strong. He's quick. He's bright. He's intelligent. Yet he needed something more if he was going to succeed at the task that was before him. Let's look at this account together, starting with verse 1 now. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 1. Let's look at Saul's anointing. It says, then Samuel took a flask of olive oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, has not the Lord anointed you ruler over his inheritance? Friends, we need to understand that whatever we do in life, whatever position we fill in life, we are underlings to God. Samuel says to Saul, Saul, you're going to become king of Israel, but you must never forget this is God's inheritance. And when you look at the many years of Israel and all the attacks against it over history, it's miraculous how God has kept that nation in the palm of his hand. So Saul, son of Kish, he is going to become anointed now to become the king of Israel. That's quite a surprise for a 30-year-old man that is merely looking now out in the wilderness for his father's lost donkeys. All throughout the Bible, I see there's a pattern, and this pattern is this. A man is anointed before he is appointed. Let me say that one more time. A man is anointed before he is appointed. And so the prophet and priest by the name of Samuel, he takes a flask of oil and he pours it on the head of Saul, anointing him in the name of the Lord to be the king of Israel. The scene is reminiscent of Aaron's anointing as the high priest. The oil, the Bible says, was poured upon the top of his head, came down over his beard, over his garments, all the way down to his feet. Matter of fact, if you look it up, what's rather interesting, they used approximately 5 quarts of oil in that time of dedication. It wasn't just a small dab. And so oil then in Scripture is a symbol for the Holy Spirit. Oil was used to consecrate both articles and individuals in the Old Testament. It was also a source of power. They used it for lighting their lamps, and it was the very source of their light. And it was also used medicinally. So a person that was set apart for the purposes and service of God, they were anointed then in a service whereby they would anoint them with sacred oil. Matter of fact, the very term Messiah that we know of Jesus literally means the anointed one. And the Bible speaks of Jesus' anointing, that he received the Holy Spirit without measure, and he received the anointing of the Holy One. And so Saul now was anointed and appointed to become the king of Israel. I want you to see now the promise of the Spirit that is involved here in this anointing. Look at verse 2 with me now. And I want you to see how precise this prophetic word is. Samuel gives a prophetic word to Saul. And I want you to kind of pick out, it's not nebulous in any sense of the term. It is very precise. This is what's going to happen. You know, there's a lot of would-be prophets running around today that, you know, they've got kind of a nebulous thing. You know, this is going to happen in general terms. I want you to see how specific this word is from Samuel, the prophet, to Saul. When you leave me today, you will meet 2 men near Rachel's tomb. Okay, that's pretty insightful. So as you leave here, as you begin to go, you're going to meet 2 men, not a man and a woman, not 3 guys. It's going to be 2 men. You're going to find them near Rachel's tomb at Zelzah on the border of Benjamin. They will say to you, now the Samuel, the prophet here, is even going to say what they're going to be telling him when they do have this encounter. They will say to you, the donkeys you've set out to look for have been found. And now your father has stopped thinking about them and is worried about you. He is asking, what shall I do about my son? Then you will go on from there until you reach a great tree of Tabor. 3 men, there it is, precise again, the tree. We're going to meet 3 men going up to God at Bethel. We'll meet you there. Now listen to this. One is going to be carrying 3 young goats, another 3 loaves of bread, and another a skin of wine. And they will greet you, and they will offer you 2 loaves of bread. Precise. And you will accept them. After that, you will go to Gibeah of God, where there is a Philistine outpost. As you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets. Again, very precise. Coming down from the high place with lyres, tambourines, flutes, and harps being played before them, and they will be prophesying. Now listen to what's going to happen. The Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. The Spirit of the Lord, the Bible says, will come powerfully on you. Saul is going to receive more than a dousing of oil. There's going to be an endowment of power, and this power is going to come from the hand of God himself. The original Hebrew here is very forceful when you read this particular portion in the original text. The Spirit will come mightily upon you is what it is saying. There is going to be a moment whereby when the Spirit rests upon you, Saul, you're going to know that you know that you know that you have just come in contact with the Spirit of Almighty God. The original Hebrew then is forceful. The Spirit will come mightily upon you. Matter of fact, you can read in some translations there, it says, it will come and it will overpower you. It will overtake you. In Acts chapter 2, in the New Testament, it describes the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost as a rushing mighty wind and tongues like as a fire. Friends, let me ask you this morning, what two natural elements known to man are more powerful than wind and fire? And then when you combine wind and fire together, it becomes an unstoppable force. We have seen those in the Santa Ana winds in California and how it will drive a fire and absolutely burn out thousands and thousands of acres and everything that's in its sight. And so the Bible is saying here, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, He is going to come in a mighty way, and it's going to be a transforming way. Samuel said to Saul, "The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power." Now, if you look at that portion of Scripture, I want you to pull out, there's a context there that I want you to see, and a phrase is very important. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. When you read in the Old Testament, it is always the story and the account of the Holy Spirit coming down and upon an individual. It would come for a specific reason, a specific purpose, and then afterwards the Spirit would leave. Not leave them in entirety, but the dunamis or the power or the strength, the vitality was there for the moment, and then it would again kind of rescind. If you look at the lives of some of the men and women of the Old Testament, you look at Elijah. Bible will say time and time again, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Elijah. And when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Elijah, he did mighty exploits. The same of Elisha. Or what about Samson? Every time you read about Samson's strength, you read about the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and then he received supernatural strength, and he went out and he did his mighty exploits. As a matter of fact, he was as weak as any other man when the Spirit finally left him because of his, you know, inconsistency in his spiritual life and his taking the Spirit and the things of the Spirit for granted. And the Bible says one day he messed around until he did not know the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. And then Delilah called out, remember the story, "The Philistines are upon you." And he said to himself, "I will rise as I have done at other times. I will shake myself. Otherwise, I will be that strong man. The Spirit of God will come upon me." But he knew not. Old Testament, you know, and the King James Version says it this way. He wist not, or he knew not, that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. And so when you find the Spirit there, they're supernatural and their actions are supernatural. Elijah, Elisha, Samson, Gideon, David, all the prophets of the Old Testament, they all had a similar experience. The Spirit of the Lord came upon them. Now here's what we have that they did not have. In the New Testament, when the Spirit of the Lord comes and fills the individual, the Bible says, "He that has been with you shall be in you." And so it's an abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. He is there when you get up in the morning. He is there when you have breakfast. He is there when you're driving on the way to work. He is there when you put your 8 hours in. He is there on your drive back home. He is there in your home. He's with you. He does not leave you. And I am so glad for the ongoing presence of the Holy Spirit. And so the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them. You will speak other words with a supernatural utterance. You know, biblically as well as historically, the initial physical evidence of the presence of the Spirit in the life of a believer has been accompanied by the empowerment to speak supernaturally. That supernatural might be in the realm of prophecy or tongues or the word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. But nonetheless, the Spirit of the Lord, when he comes upon an individual and resides within them, there is a all new open door to the gifts. And so they begin to speak prophetically. They speak in other tongues. They speak the word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. And now it says this, Saul then, son of Kish, you're going to receive this unique power when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you and you will prophesy. Your words are going to have brand new meaning. They're going to have punch behind them. They're going to have the backing of the Spirit. Saul, son of Kish, ordinary man, you will do some extraordinary things, in other words, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you. You will prophesy. You will speak prophetically the oracles of God. I'll look at verse 6 one more time. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, that is with the other prophets, and you will be changed into a different person. Now, friends, I find that an incredible promise. And you'll be changed into a different person. I don't know any one of us that do not have a desire to become a different person. Amen? There's something that all of us know individually about ourselves. Our mates might not know, though we've lived together as husband and wife for many, many years, our children, grandchildren, best friends, others may not know, but we know the areas of our life that we long to see a change take place in. And so the Bible says that Saul then was changed. He was changed into a different person. However, Saul is going to soon find out that the works of God, the gifts of God, must be maintained, they must be valued, or they will soon die off and they'll be gone. You see, friends, we must continue to walk in the Spirit. If we fail to walk in the Spirit, it is very little time, and it's amazing how little time it takes for us to revert back to our old character, our old lifestyle, our old sin, our old ways. You can go backwards in, I would say, within minutes of what has taken you a lifetime to go forward in. We find that in the lives, tragically, of Samson and others in the Scripture. You see, friends, we are nothing without the Spirit of God. The Bible is replete then of examples of lives that were changed miraculously by this power of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, you read of Samson. Samson becomes a mighty warrior, but only when the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. Saul, he becomes the first king of Israel. That's the account we're looking at this morning. All because of the anointing. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when he receives the outpouring of the Holy Spirit with the others in the upper room, in that moment, he miraculously is changed. Remember, just a few days before that, he was one that denied that he even knew Jesus, not once, but twice, but three times. And now this same individual, Peter, becomes from a coward to a commando. He is the one that on the day of Pentecost, when he said, you're all a bunch of drunks, you're all talking out of your heads, you're all a bunch of crazy people, and he stands up and he says, you're wrong. Let me tell you, this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. You claim to be Jews, you claim to know the word of God, you should know better than this. And he is, I mean, he's right down. He's got some hard preaching going on there in Acts chapter 2 and the first part of Acts chapter 3. And so we find then Peter is, you know, absolutely changed when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. Or look at the Apostle Paul in his life. The Apostle Paul, he was a persecutor of the church. And when the Spirit of God rested upon him in Acts chapter 9, he becomes a planter of the church all throughout Asia Minor. Now, friends, here are a few things that you can count on. These are changes that you can expect in your life when the Spirit of the Lord comes to make his dwelling within you. First of all, you will notice there will be a desire, not only a desire, but there will be an empowerment for holy living. There is something about the precious work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. He is refining us. He is calling us out of our old ways. He's calling us to walk in the paths of God. He is the one that is, you know, empowering us, not just showing us. Not only is there the desire, thank God for the desire, that desire to be greater for God and to be purer for God and be used more for God, but not only is the desire there, the empowerment for holy living comes through the work of the Holy Spirit. The other thing that you'll notice, when the Holy Spirit's at work inside of your life, there's an illumination of God's Word. You know, no one can interpret a book better than its author. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that all the Bible was given by inspiration of God. And it was the Holy Spirit working with men and women that were able to sit down and begin to articulate and write down the things that God was showing them and giving to them. But the illumination of God's Word, if you've been struggling in your life and you're saying, you know, I just don't get this. I don't understand it. It seems like a book of mysteries. It seems, you know, beyond my ability to comprehend. Friend, I want you to know, as you begin to walk in the Spirit, as you begin to daily pray the Spirit to guide and direct your life, the Holy Spirit, when He indwells the believer, He begins to give illumination. And here's how it works. You know, when we first open the Bible, you know, early on in our Christian lives, we may read something like John 3:16, you know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And we read that, and it's kind of a cerebral response to it. Yeah, God loved the world. He sent His Son, da-da-da. When the Holy Spirit really begins to, you know, give us insights, all of a sudden you say, wow. I'll never forget a lady by the name of Sandy Bones. First time she read John chapter 3 and verse 16 after giving her life to Christ and, you know, the Spirit of God resting upon her. And she showed up once again to Sunday school and she was sitting in the class and she said, I've got to show you. I've got to tell you what I found in the Bible. I can't believe it was in there. I can't. And she was just so excited she could hardly talk. And so I said, and we're all sitting in this big circle in the classroom. And I said, well, Sandy, show us, tell us. And she said, I doubt you've ever seen this, but let me read it for you. For God so loved the world. Now, here's what was going on. To the rest of us in the class, we're kind of saying, you're all excited about that. We learned that in third grade. Matter of fact, I've got a little certificate that shows that, you know, I memorized that. The Holy Spirit, when He comes alongside, Holy Spirit made that portion of Scripture so real. The rest of us in the class kind of hung our heads because what she had received had come from divine revelation from God. Now, if you're struggling with the Word, let me encourage you. Seek the guidance and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. He will change your prayer life. He'll give you a brand new prayer language. You know, the Bible says that we ought to know how to pray, but we do not often know how to pray. And the Bible says when we do not know how to pray, the Spirit of God intercedes through us with groanings that cannot be understood. And so He begins to pray through us, knowing the heart and the mind and the will of God. And at times when you're just not sure, how do I pray? And, you know, it just seems like, you know, saying, God, have your way. We want that. But in order for the release to come, sometimes we've got to pray through in the Spirit. And He gives us that brand new prayer language that we can pray in the Spirit. He gives us brand new avenues of worship so we can worship in the Spirit. I'm so glad that we can worship with our minds, meaning that we see the words on the screen, and with the Word is on the screen, we're capable and able to be able to take and, you know, sing those songs along. But there's also a song of the Lord. You know, it's a song that He'll give you that's just for you. And other times, I've been in places where the song of the Lord has just broke out sovereignly over a whole congregation. He'll give you a brand new way, an avenue of being able to worship and praise and give glory to God. He'll put power in your witness. Friends, there's a lot of words floating around today. A lot of people talking, a lot of things being said. And if your word is going to stand out in this generation of so many words, it's going to take the baptism, it's going to take the anointing of the Holy Spirit. What this generation needs to hear, the generations that are burning down our cities right now, the generation today needs to hear, "Thus saith the Lord." And it's not a bunch of baloney, it's the word of the Lord. Amen? And it also opens up the ability to move in the gifts of the Spirit. Lloyd Ogilvie, a wonderful Presbyterian pastor that became the chaplain for the U.S. Senate, and he served in that capacity for about 8 years. And I invited him to come to do a seminar, minister seminar, many years ago. And in this seminar, he said something that I've never forgotten. How many of you know that, you know, out of a message like today or any other long conversations, we generally pick one thing out that's life-changing out of it? The big picture, you know, it's just, a lot of it's lost along the way. However, there's something that usually will stand out of every, you know, conversation, out of every message, out of every show, out of every whatever it is. There's something that's the pivotal point. And so in this particular meeting, here's what Dr. Ogilvie said. He said, when you're filled with the Spirit, he said, the need before you will call forth the gift of God within you. That's pretty cool. That lets me know I don't have to worry about what's going to be out there because I know who's in here. And therefore, whatever I face, no matter what it is, whether it's a demonic thing, whether it's a need for healing, whether it's chaos, whether it's whatever, in that moment, because Christ dwells within and the Spirit of God dwells within, the need before you will call forth the gift of God within you. And when you begin to realize that, becomes transforming. Because when you get up in the morning and you leave the house and you don't know what you're going to face throughout the day, you have no idea who's going to attack you verbally or any other way. You know this, Christ in me, the hope of glory, and greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. And I am filled with the Spirit, I'm walking in the Spirit, and the Spirit is going to call forth the gift that is within me to meet whatever need I come across throughout the day. And the Holy Spirit will give you that ability to move in the gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you a confidence and will give you an authority. Verse 7 says, once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Samuel says to Saul, Saul, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, when the Spirit of God is resting upon your life, he says, just go do whatever your hand finds to do because God is with you. Isn't it good to know that God is with us? Isn't it good to know that when you walk out of this place and you're driving home today and you don't know what the next week is going to be and what you're going to face, God does. And the Spirit of God goes with us, never abandons, never leaves us. You know, there's a blessing that comes with obedience. And it says in verse 9, you see, every promise of God is only as good to us individually, not meaning that we can cancel. You can disbelieve the entire book and the whole book is still true. You can choose to believe that healing is not for today and it won't be for you. So you will never cancel the promises of God. However, the blessings of God are only as good to us individually as our willingness to receive them and be obedient towards. And so Saul, the Bible says, turned to leave Samuel. He's putting into action, into obedience. And God changed Saul's heart. And all of these signs were fulfilled that day. As Saul turned to leave Samuel, as he obeyed, God changed his heart. And that word changed there, when it says that he changed Saul's heart, it talks about a remarkable change. Verse 11 says, when all those who had formerly known him saw him prophesying with the prophets, they asked each other, what is this that happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? You know, friends, nothing more powerfully declares God and God's ability and shows the world his ability more than a changed life. I believe that a changed life is the greatest and the finest work of God. Friends, that which happened to Saul, that which happened to the men and women gathered in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, is still happening today. God is moving by his Spirit throughout the entire world in an unprecedented way. The Bible says the wind blows where it wants to. The bamboo curtain could not stop. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, the iron curtain could not. The wind blows where it wants to. And I want you to know the winds are blowing. And you can get right in the heart, right in the center of it all. If you've not yet received the gift of the Holy Spirit, I encourage you to be more intentional about seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Be intentional about it. The Bible says if we hunger and thirst after God, we'll be filled. You can hunger and thirst after a lot of things, friends, and never receive it. You can hunger and say, you know, I want a $1 million house. I want this, I want that, I want whatever. Never receive it. But you'll never be turned down when you hunger and thirst after God. He'll change you. He'll change you into a different person. If you've been neglecting the work of the Spirit in your life, let me encourage you to stir up the flames once again and fan it back into fire. Father, I pray that in these next few moments, Lord, that you would do something of the realm of the supernatural. Lord, inside of all of our hearts, there's a longing, there's a desire, and it's a God-given desire. You desire to change us, and that desire is rising up within us today. Lord, we want to be more like you. Lord, we don't want to be just one more babbler in the crowd. We want to speak up and say, thus saith the Lord your God. We want an anointing upon our lives, one that will cause our best friends and closest associates and those that know us the best, that will say, what in the world happened to you? We'll have the opportunity to tell them. God has placed his Spirit upon us. And I pray, Lord, that you would just fill this place in the midst of our worship. Lord, I pray that our hearts will be open, that you'll baptize in your Spirit, that gifts will be poured out, hearts that are hungry would be filled. In Jesus' name.